soul. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you.
Number 76 in the supplemental. Number 76.
Let's talk to our Father. Dear Jehovah, thank you so much for forgiving us for our sins. We pray that you find our worship pleasing and that we are able to open our hearts to your word. Thank you for the sacrifice your Son made for us on the cross. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit and let us be a guide to others. We love you with our whole hearts, Jehovah. And it's through your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Well, good evening. Good to see everybody back today. I want to talk tonight about what the Proverbs has to say, what the Proverbs have to say about a fool. And I want to start with Proverbs chapter 17, verse 12. It says, "Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs, rather than a fool in his folly." Hopefully, the the screens are going to make it through tonight. I know we've had some trouble with the projector. But as we look at this proverb, I think it's very interesting. I think it's an incredible way to express something. One of the reasons why biblical proverbs are so powerful is because there's a lot of meaning packed into just a few words. There's so much wisdom, and yet it's expressed in just a few lines. And I want to start tonight by asking the question, looking at this proverb, how do you know that you're not the fool being described here? How do I know that when I look at this, that I'm not the fool being talked about here? That's a question each of us have to ask. It's an important question because look at what this proverb is saying. It's better to encounter a vicious, angry mama bear who's just had her baby bear stolen from her. It's better to encounter that than to be around a foolish person who is acting foolishly. So a fool is very dangerous. I mean, compared to a vicious bear, this proverb says you do better to be around the bear. And so it's important for us when we look at this proverb to ask the question, is this me being talked about? Am I the fool? How do you know? Well, as we look at the proverbs, there are some things that make the proverbs a little difficult. First of all, sometimes just figuring out the meaning can be a challenge. A lot of times the proverbs use metaphor, they use colorful language, and you really have to kind of look at it and figure out what exactly is the point. Some of the ones we're going to be looking at tonight aren't really like that, but there's a lot of them that are, that really require you to kind of think, and it's almost like a riddle. You have to kind of figure out what's the writer's meaning behind that. So that can make the proverbs difficult. Kind of the last step in studying the proverbs that makes them difficult is making an application. Not just figuring out what's the application for my life, but actually doing it. Actually putting the application into practice. But what I want to focus on tonight is kind of the middle step in between these two. And it's just realizing and admitting that the proverb actually applies to me. Because a lot of times, we may look at this proverb, like Proverbs 17:12, and we may think, yep, that's a good lesson. Good thing I'm not a fool, so I'm not going to be a danger to anybody. But yep, people should watch out for those fools. All those other people, they are foolish. So I need to make sure that I am not encountering them and letting their foolishness rub off on me or harm me. And see what we do? We come to the proverb presupposing that, well, I'm not the fool, so now let me look at what the proverb says. We kind of take it as a given that, okay, I'm wise, so let's see what the proverb says about those fools out there. And if we approach any of the scriptures that way, as if, okay, well, I'm okay, I'm good, but let's see what the lesson is for everyone else. If we approach the scriptures like that, well, then we're very similar to the man that Jesus talks about in his parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In Luke 18, starting in verse 9, it says, he also, meaning Jesus, he told them this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. See, what he did was approach God, presupposing, all right, I'm righteous, so now let me approach God and ask God for how else he can help me, or proclaim to God how righteous I am. It's not even in his mind that he should approach God and act like he is incomplete. and needs God to help him to be better. He doesn't approach God acting like he's missing something, like he's deficient in any way. And so because of that, how's he supposed to develop? How's he supposed to grow closer to God if he can't even realize and admit that God's teaching applies to him? And sometimes we have that attitude. And so as we look at these Proverbs, I don't want us to have the attitude of, yeah, all those non-Christians out there, man, they can be so foolish. And I'm not saying there aren't fools out there that are not Christians. Of course there are. But as we look through these Proverbs, I want us to ask the question, is that me? Are these Proverbs that are talking about foolishness and what the fool does, is that me? Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're wise. And I'm sure if we thought about it, we'd know Christians that are not wise, that make foolish decisions all the time. And if we look at ourselves, we think, you know what? There's been times in my life where I've been an absolute fool, even though I was a Christian. And so as we approach the scriptures, we need to not despise wisdom and instruction. And the word despise there, it's not like the way that we use it nowadays. We use it a lot of times just to mean hate. You know, I despise Brussels sprouts or whatever. I despise that rock group. But that's not what the word despise really is getting at. The word despise really just means to look down on. It doesn't seem valuable to you. The way that the scriptures say that Esau despised his birthright. He didn't hate his birthright. He just didn't think it was as valuable as it really was. He considered, well, that food is more valuable. Or the way that Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. He's not saying there's going to be people that just hate Timothy because he's young. But they're not going to think he's valuable because he's young. They're not going to think he's worth all that much because, well, he's young. And so what the proverb is saying here is, fools don't value wisdom and instruction that much. Learning is not something they really care about. It may be something they say they care about, but not something they actively seek out and actively want to know. And if we're not careful, we can have the same attitude. Well, tonight I want to look at God's wisdom. Look at what God says a fool is. Look at what God says that a wise person does. And the only way to know if we're the fool is to look at these Proverbs and say, do I do that? Is that how I act? Is that the way that I am around my friends? Is that the way that I am around my family members, my coworkers? Is that the way that I am on social media? And I'll tell you, as I studied these Proverbs, so many of these Proverbs remind me of exactly what I see on the internet, exactly what I see online that people are saying online, and sometimes even what Christians are saying online. And so a lot of times it's difficult because we kind of see our social media life as separate from our normal day-to-day life. And so as we look at these Proverbs, what you say and do on social media, if you do get on social media, what you say and do there, these Proverbs apply to that too. And so I want us to keep that in mind as we look at these. Well, before we actually look at some of the specific Proverbs that I want to focus on, I just want to talk about real quickly what Proverbs are and what they're not really intended to be. The Proverbs are just general statements about wisdom, general statements about what's right and correct and the way that things are in life. But they're not meant to be applicable to every single situation, every single time. They're just generally true. They're not true without fail, you know, in every circumstance. And they're not meant to be that. And I'll give you an example. This proverb is well known to a lot of us. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, in general, that's true. In general, if a child is trained to be righteous, when they get older, they'll be righteous. But we all know this isn't true every single time, Every single child and parent relationship doesn't fit into this. Of course there are exceptions. Of course there are times when, you know what, the parents did everything they were supposed to do. And because God gives people free will, sometimes the child turns away from that when they get older. And they do depart. And so this proverb in general is true, but there are exceptions, of course. And I just want us to keep that in mind as we study these, just so we don't think that if it tells us to do something, every single situation we have to do exactly that. We have to use judgment. We have to realize there are exceptions sometimes. But let's get into these proverbs. The proverbs I want to look at really are focusing on what we say, our interaction with other people, when we're dealing with other people, especially when there's conflict, especially when there's disagreement. Those kind of situations I want to focus on tonight. Proverbs 17, starting in verse 27, says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Pretty simple proverb to understand. That people that just talk a lot, and this is a dangerous thing for somebody to say while they're preaching a sermon, but people that just don't restrain their words, that just let loose and talk a lot, they don't have knowledge. They're not wise. A man who has a cool spirit, meaning a man who's not hot-tempered and just reacts, a man who is calm, a man who doesn't just release everything he's thinking, that's a man who is wise. And it kind of humorously makes the point, you know, even if you're a fool, if you're an absolute fool, if you don't say anything, a lot of times people don't know you're a fool. Right? You seem like a wise person because you're sitting there. It's only after you open your mouth and say something that they may think, oh, that guy's a fool. Look at what he just said. But at least a fool who doesn't say anything seems wise. And a lot of times when we're dealing with people, this proverb really fits the situation that we're in. And we need to keep this in mind. Here's another one. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." You know, there are times in our lives where something upsets us. And it's not just that we express how we're feeling. We express fully all of the strong emotions we're feeling. And that's foolish. And what this proverb is saying is it's wise to not just completely let loose everything you feel. Quietly hold it back. That is wise. That will keep the situation from getting worse. That will keep the situation from causing even further damage. "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." If there's ever a proverb that relates to what I've seen on social media recently, it's this. That whatever we're dealing with, and there's so many issues in our country right now, but all the different things you see on the news, we've all seen this. That people love to give their opinion. Here's what I think on it. And their goal is not to understand better. Their goal is not to, you know, okay, what's exactly the situation? What's going on here? What's the other person thinking? You know, where are they coming from? No, the motivation of a fool is, I want to say what I think. I want to give my opinion. I don't really care what happens. I just want people to know, here's how I feel about it. That happens all the time. In fact, that's pretty much what certain websites online are for. Here's a statement, and here's all the comments people can make. And it's just boom, 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 opinion after opinion of people that just relish the opportunity to have an audience so they can just let loose with their opinion. And it's not teaching to never give your opinion. It's saying a fool cares about expressing his opinion, not about understanding the situation. "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." Well, I won't make the obvious point about husbands and wives. As a husband, This is something that that applies a lot. But whether it's in a marriage, whether it's a child reacting to the parent, or whether it's just discussing anything in our society, it's so common to just react and answer and not even listen. And definitely, I think we're reminded here of what James said. Every man should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. People that aren't like that, that aren't quick to hear, they just want to speak. They're fools. One of the difficult things is to look at these Proverbs and think, is that what I do? Is that really what happens with me? It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. These next few Proverbs really are going to deal with conflict, with argument. And what this proverb is saying is, it's honorable sometimes not to get involved. It's sometimes to stay away from the controversy, the conflict, to stay away from the situation. It's not meaning, you know, if your kids are fighting, don't get involved, keep aloof from the strife. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is, fools like to quarrel. They'll be involved in a quarrel. If there's a disagreement, if there's any kind of controversy, a fool wants to be involved. They will be quarreling. But a wise person is above that and stays away from that. It doesn't mean never should a wise person get involved, but in general, it's honorable to keep aloof from that. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. One of the way these proverbs are the most powerful is to actually literally picture what's being talked about here. It's that the words that a fool speaks are like sword thrusts. Imagine somebody just getting stabbed with a sword over and over again. That's what rash words can do. Words spoken without thinking, words spoken without even giving any kind of thought, just to speak, 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 speak. Those kind of words, that kind of attitude can cause harm, like harm would be caused if someone was being stabbed repeatedly by a sword. But a wise person, they speak, but they don't speak rashly in order to cause harm. They speak after considering, after thinking and meditating, and their motive is to heal. And because they haven't spoken rashly, most of the time, they will bring healing. And if we want to bring healing to a situation, whether it's a disagreement with our brethren, whether it's a disagreement with one of the elders, or with our coworker, or with a family member, or with our spouse, rash words are not the way to do that. In fact, all they do is cause even more destruction. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. We don't usually use the word vexation very much, but somebody being vexed means they're aggravated, they're irritated, they're upset. And if a fool gets upset, you know at once because he reacts. In fact, we've probably seen people before that when I get offended, everyone's going to know about it. I'm going to let everyone know, here's what was done to me. Here's how my pride was damaged. Here's how something happened. I'm a victim, and I want everyone to know about it. The vexation of a fool is known at once. You always know when a fool has been offended. He's going to let you know. But somebody who's wise, somebody who's prudent, and this is extremely difficult, ignores an insult, is insulted, and doesn't react. Now, when it comes to discussing politics or discussing current events in our society, it's really hard to just ignore an insult. Or when you are having an argument with a friend or an argument with your spouse or somebody at work and you get insulted, it's really difficult to just ignore that and then keep addressing the issue and try and talk constructively. But what the proverb writer says is that's what a wise person does. They ignore an insult. And so as we look at these proverbs that we've examined, We need to ask, well, according to these, are we fools? Each of us needs to look inside and think, am I a fool? According to this, have I acted foolishly? The only way to really know is to honestly self-reflect. Because it's so easy to say, well, I'm sure in the past I've done stuff like that, but no, I'm fine. It's so easy to say, you're right, foolishness is not good. But not really to reflect on what are the things that I've done? What are the things that I do? How do I react to people in my lives? Do I do the things that Proverbs says are foolish? There are times in our lives where we are struggling. We're struggling in our relationships. We're struggling in our work life, in our home life. We're stressed out and we're really upset because we haven't been following what the Proverbs tell us to do. And there are times when we just can't get along with this person, or it just seems like there's always something happening that's just upsetting me. And there's times when we even pray to God and ask God to help us. And the sad thing is, a lot of times, God's already helped us by giving us the book of Proverbs. So many times the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs, that is the answer to our prayers. That is what we're asking God for. We're asking God, help us in our situation. I don't get along with this person, or there's a lot of conflict between these people. And we ask for a solution, and yet there's our Bible sitting there with wisdom in there. And we don't seek it out. We don't read it. That's why, as was read to us in the scripture reading, that's why wisdom at the beginning of the book of Proverbs is described as a lady who's screaming out in the middle of the streets. I mean, imagine a lady just on the street corner just screaming to get people's attention. And what Proverbs says is that's what wisdom does. Wisdom is on the street corner screaming for people to notice, and nobody notices. Nobody turns and looks. Everyone just passes by. Everybody ignores wisdom. And the reason she has to keep screaming is because nobody's listening. So she screams, why are you ignoring me? Turn aside and listen to me. So many times that's what our Bibles are doing. They're screaming for us to listen to it. And yet, like the lady, we just pass by and we ignore. And so because of that, unfortunately, the folly of fools brings folly. That foolishness that happens, it just begets more foolishness. That fools are doing foolish things, and the end result is even more foolishness. And the mouth of fools loves folly, because fools love to consume all of this foolishness and feed off of that, and it sustains them. And so many times the controversies in our society and the sinful attitudes and the conflict that just is always going on, sometimes we just love it and we feed off of that foolishness. And all that happens, instead of learning from it, instead of adapting and becoming what we should be, instead of being wise, we ourselves are responsible for even more foolishness happening. Well, not only do we need to try and actively not be like the fool, the book of Proverbs also tells us we need to avoid the influence that a fool can have over us. Proverbs 13:27 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Pretty simple to understand. I mean, you're influenced by the people that are around you. And if we're not careful, a lot of times, if we don't really think about this, we're going to miss that, you know what? I have a lot of companions that are foolish. And their foolish attitudes and their foolish tendencies really are rubbing off on me. And I need to seek out those who are wise. Seek out those who can help me to be wise. That's a simple concept. And yet so many times, we've all seen it. You've got a person whose friends are just as foolish as they are. And they don't have any friends that are good influences on them. They have fools that are, they have friends that are fools. And so because of that, that person remains foolish and isn't benefited by their companions. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. The words of a fool are damaging. And what this proverb says is, sometimes you have to walk away. You have to leave. There's no benefit in staying in a situation where there is foolishness. Well, sometimes we think, well, but if a fool is saying something foolish, I can't just sit by and let that happen. If a fool is saying something foolish, if somebody says something that's not right, it's my job to step in and say something. It's my obligation to not let that go. I wouldn't feel right about just letting that person's ignorance, letting that person's foolishness just be said and nobody says anything about it. I need to go in there and I need to correct what they're saying and I need to respond. Well, sometimes. But I like this proverb. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Here's a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, how the proverbs aren't true in every single situation. Because here you've got two proverbs that are telling you to do the exact opposite thing. The first says, don't respond to the foolishness that a fool is saying. Because when you do that, now you got two fools. Because you're going to be just like him, or at least look like him. It's not going to help the situation. You're going to be like him too if you get involved in his foolishness. But the next line says, sometimes you need to answer a fool. You need to respond. Because you don't need to let the fool think they are wise. You need to make sure they know that's not correct. And so a lot of times in our lives, it's going to require judgment. It's going to require wisdom to look at a situation and ask ourselves, if I respond to this person, is it going to make me look like them? Is it going to make me look foolish too? Or is it really going to benefit? And we may not always make the correct decision, but we need to keep this proverb in mind when we're dealing with the foolishness that is constantly around us. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. This is so common. It's really difficult to have a rational conversation with somebody that's foolish. It's really difficult to instruct somebody that just doesn't care. And once again, there's the word despise. It's not that they hate your words. They despise them, meaning they don't value your words. Your words have no value to them. And so as you're trying to talk to them and instruct them, sometimes it does nothing. And so sometimes it's best just not to say anything at all. Sadly, we saw Jesus doing the same thing when he was on earth. There were times when he wouldn't respond. There are times when he'd be asked a question and he wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't respond. Or he'd change the subject. Because it's not an audience that really cares. It was an audience that despised the good sense of his words. This is one of my favorite proverbs, just because of how vivid the imagery is. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Keep in mind, back then, dogs were not just common household pets. They weren't just cute little wonderful man's best friend. Dogs were dirty, wild scavengers that roam the streets. We're talking about the same dogs that, you know, ate the corpse of Jezebel. All right. Not exactly, you know, man's best friend. Although in that situation, it wasn't, you know, maybe we didn't mind. But, normally they're not just lovable, you know, fluffy creatures. They're just scavengers. And so imagine a dog just walking by and you just walk up to a dog and grab it by the ears. What a stupid thing to do, right? I mean, that is just the most ridiculous thing. Because what's going to happen is the dog is going to bite you. It's going to react. It's going to bite you. And now you're harmed. And there was no reason for you to be harmed in the first place. There was no reason for you to suffer. You weren't involved. The dog was going to pass by and be gone. And yet you got involved and it caused you harm. Well, that's the same thing when we go and meddle in a quarrel that's not ours. And I'll just say, a lot of times, what's going on politically, it's not our quarrel. I'm not saying we can't have any active role in politics, but God's made it very clear He controls the kingdoms of this earth. And God's made it clear that our salvation doesn't depend at all on what happens in America. And our home in heaven doesn't have anything to do with who the leaders of this country end up being. So many times the frustration and the conflict, it's a quarrel that's not even ours. It's a quarrel that has nothing to do with us. And if we wait, the years will pass by and the quarrel will be gone. And once again, I'm not saying that it's wrong to get involved in politics. Our country is amazing in that it allows its citizens to be involved and choose their leaders. But the quarreling that comes from that, the frustration that comes from that, if we get involved in that, it's not going to help us spiritually. If we get involved in that, it's very likely it's going to be like a dog that just turns to attack us and cause us harm and cause us frustration, because that's what we care about the most. And ultimately, it's going to let us down. I'll end with this proverb. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. So many times, I think Christians, and I've been like this in my life before, just kind of think of our Christianity as just, well, it's our salvation and we're saved, so everything's great. And yet we don't look at what the Proverbs say, and no, you have to continue to discern your way. Continue to investigate and look and make sure you are taking the correct steps as you go through your life. And here is what makes it so difficult, is foolishness, the folly of fools, it's deceiving. It's deceiving because foolishness doesn't look like foolishness. Foolishness looks like wisdom. And there are so many people in this world, and sadly there's even people in the church that think I am wise, but they're deceived because really they're practicing foolishness. It doesn't look like foolishness. It's deceiving. But the only way to really know if we are a righteous, wise person is to go read what God told us wise people do, and to read what God told us foolish people do, and to avoid the pattern of the fool and to follow the pattern of the wise man. And that's very difficult in our lives. And it requires work. And I think sometimes spiritual work is not something we're as interested in as we should be. Spiritual work sounds like too much work. Spiritual work can distract us from the things that we'd rather do. But the whole time, we need to keep in mind that Lady Wisdom is standing there crying out, listen to me. How long will you love being simple-minded? Turn and hear what I have to say, and it will benefit you. If you don't, it'll be to your own harm, and it'll be too late then to cry out to me. God is doing that. God is calling us to be wise, not to be fools. So I'll just end with this question. Why is this so important? Why is changing the way that we talk, why is changing the way that we deal with people, why is that so vital? Well, Paul said in Romans that God predetermined that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And there's a lot of ways in which that happens. But we're supposed to be molded after who Jesus is, so that when we look at who Jesus was, that we resemble that. We're supposed to resemble our Savior. Not just in, well, He died and was buried and was raised. And so spiritually we have died in baptism and been raised from the waters of baptism and now are living a new life with our God. That absolutely is true. And I think that's more along the lines of what Paul's getting at in Romans. But there's other ways that we're conformed to the image of Jesus. The way that He dealt with people, that should be the way that we deal with people. The actions He took, the things that were important to Him, His priorities, all of those things we should be mirroring in our lives so that even our character resembles the character of Jesus. God said to His people, "You are to be holy because I am holy." And what an amazing thing it would be if God could look down on us, look down on the group here in the university area, and if God could think to Himself, "I am holy, and so are they. And they remind me of my Son, Jesus." What an incredible goal for us to have. And what an incredible way to glorify our Father by looking like His Son. And all of us resembling Him. That's why I think the Proverbs are so vital to our lives. That's why I think it's important for us to discern our way. And so I hope that we'll do that. We haven't talked tonight about how to become a follower of Jesus. But that is always the goal of somebody who has not yet accepted Jesus as their King. Jesus is our Savior and He's our King. And what any citizen of this earth should do is submit to their King. And Jesus said, if you submit to Me, if you become My follower, you'll be saved. You'll be saved and you'll have a home prepared for you in heaven. And so if you've not done that, if you would like to become a follower of Jesus, if you would like to accept Him as your King, repent of the old way of life that you had, die in the waters of baptism and lead a new life now, following your King, discerning your way, trying to mold yourself after the image of Jesus. If you'd like to do that at this time, we'd love to have you come forward and do that. Or whatever need you may have, as we sing this song, we ask you to come down to the front. Let's stand.